Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like filling out basketball brackets. Too many choices, too much noise, and no one wants a busted budget. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break down real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Make smarter financial plays today. No luck required. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. Five times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Dom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Philadelphia's Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, WPHT HD, WOGL HD3, Philadelphia. From the Piazza Auto Group Studios, experience the power of one with 8 brands and 25 locations. Always live on the free Odyssey app. It's Dom time. Now, Dom Giordano.
Yes, it is Dom time. Welcome in, 855-839-1210. So two of our local congresspeople featured over the weekend nationally. One, this Andy Kim guy, who does get the memo, just appear to be moderate, appear to have the demeanor of moderation, and then say stuff that's just completely ridiculous and far left, and you can get away with it. But I want to start with Brendan Boyle. He's the guy Northeast Philadelphia think of. The brother Kevin Boyle, all kinds of trouble. This guy someday may be the Speaker of the House if Democrats are ever in there. Here's what he said about what's looming. Here we go again. And it's going to be a real test. Democrats itching to shut down the government, blame Republicans, and then essentially take credit for stopping DOGE. But I'm not sure how they think that will stop it, since even if the government shut down, I think that Elon Musk is not going to be stopped the probing and the moving against, by the way, 83% of the USAID group. Marco Rubio announcing today has been cut out, 83%. And I think that's an answer. The other 17% being used for the programs that we're told how worthy they are, but 83% out. Listen to Boyle tell us another continuing resolution. They don't want to do it. And here's the reason why.
Congressman Boyle, isn't that a real concern that no matter what Congress passes in terms of a CR or any budget bill, that the White House isn't going to spend the money in the way that Congress intended?
Oh, it's more than a concern. We're already seeing it now. That's what I meant when I said we're in a partial government shutdown. You know, all of those areas that I talked about, NIH grants, Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, USAID, et cetera, those were all programs and agencies legally and lawfully funded by Congress that now Donald Trump and Elon Musk are blocking. So how can I be expected to cast a vote this Friday when I know that the very next day on Saturday, Elon Musk and his Doge frat bros could show up and shut down the agency that I just voted to fund? So until that, all of that is resolved, I certainly couldn't be a yes vote in good conscience.
It's unimaginable. They caused the problem. We're getting at the root of it. Now they want to shut down the government. And look, we can say all that we want, but we know, given the media, how difficult it is for Republicans when the government shut down many times by Democrats. But I don't think that's going to stop Doge. That's one part of this. And what would the metric be? You know, how would we know that Democrats are now satisfied they can be voting for all this spending and that spending will actually happen? Well, that's unknowable. That's why it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out this week. I would predict there will be a government shutdown. For how long? Who knows? And then we'll hear the usual stories about how the world's going to end with a government shutdown. Now, Andy Kim is the guy that made his bones by cleaning up glass on the floor of Congress the day after January 6th. Remember that? And Guy Shiraki's made this point when I asked him several times, how do these people get away with these radical policies? Mary Gay Scanlon, the dean of decency. Well, they're able to adopt, with the help of the media again, a masquerade, just like Josh Shapiro, a costume, a demeanor, a moderation. They sound moderate. It's always they're feeling it. They're moderate. They're not the ones pushing. They're not angry about anything. Well, here is Andy Kim on, I guess this, CNN yesterday, talking about how offensive the GOP is in blocking trans females, is what he calls them.
Well, what I agree is that we want to make sure that these decisions are made by the communities, whether it's schools and others that are the ones closest to us. And then understand what we know is that we're talking about a handful of people, a handful of athletes around the country. These decisions can be made in a way that doesn't require the entirety of the federal government to come in on top of that. You know, what I'll just say to the American people here is that the Republicans, Trump in particular, he's trying to make this about safety, but it's not about safety and security of our kids. You know, I got a 7-year-old and a 9-year-old. What this, you know, if it was about safety and security, then maybe we would have seen Trump and the Republicans do something about the 330 school shootings that we had last year, which I'm terrified of, having two elementary school kids, or about the 1 in 5 kids in this that goes to school hungry and isn't able to have enough food in their stomachs to be able to get through the day. So it's not about safety and security. It's about politics. And that's what I find just so offensive about this, as someone who is worried about the state of our education system. And we see this right now at a time when, you know, President Trump is about to try to initiative to gut the entire Department of Education and trying to damage what I believe is a common good in this nation when it comes to our education. So that's something that I just really wanted to make clear. This is not about safety and security. It's all about the politics.
Who the heck is hosting this? Henry, you cut this one on CNN. Did you happen to notice? Turn in your hosting badge here.
I mean, who do you think it was before I tell you?
Was that
you?
Jake Tapper?
Of course.
Okay. Yeah, busy. Page 42. I didn't know anything about Joe Biden. Buddy, it's not just about safety and security. Andy Kim, come on the show. Just come on the show. I'll tell you what it's about, what Americans are angry about. Yeah, the safety, security, that's secondary. It's fairness. It's not having to compete in this manner, buddy. And Jake Tapper, he is a sports guy. I know him a little bit. How about intervening there and saying they say it's an issue of fairness? It's not fair.
Prepare yourself for an angry email, Dom.
Yeah, that's right. An angry email. Well, he only does it. Somebody tells him when O'Reilly's on it.
Oh, is that what it is?
I trigger O'Reilly every time though that he's on. I just want Jake Tapper and O'Reilly just usually, well, then he starts, Mr. Tapper is low, you know, he goes off. You're right. But where's Jake Tapper to say, he said safety and security 3 times to make that whole argument. They don't know what to do on this. They're continuing to swing wildly. They're not going to move the American people away from this. But they don't want to and can't, in their own minds, give it up. That's why the Newsom thing, I told you. So they asked Brendan Boyle in this Politico interview I talked about in the first hour a little bit more about this. And they seem to be going back to they don't want some males looking at the genitalia of their daughters, and that's what's going to be involved in this. They're getting more outlandish every day on this. This and illegal immigration. Much bigger, much broader issue. But this issue hits home. Stick on it. Don't let up on it. Andy Kim, come on the show. We'll tell you about fairness, about women competing. We talked last week about this guy in the state championship in California that won the high jump by 3 feet, won the triple jump by an extraordinary amount. How in the world are you supposed to tell people to sit there and see that and take it? The American people are not going to take it. They're not going to be bullied by you into talking about what you want to talk about and what you want to evade. Answer the question. What about fairness? Something you always talk about. All right, side question today. Don't forget, hit us with a locale, a location that is almost a character or could be a character. YouTube alert. And Henry, I'll ask you because you cut this one too. This is footage, and I wanted to put this in there because she made herself a victim today. YouTube.com/1210WPHD. This is footage of a female event. It's a relay. I think they're each running 200 yards or meters, whichever it is, something like that. And in seeing this, I only ran. Henry, you ever run a relay?
I did, yeah.
Okay.
I had the privilege of running in the Penn relays, actually.
You did?
Yeah, in eighth grade.
What distance?
The 4x1, 4x100 meters.
Okay. Mine was only the CYO. But
yeah,
what's the cardinal rule of relay running?
Don't use a baton as a weapon?
Well, no, we'll get to
that's
that.
A good
Don't
one.
Spoil the next one. That's where I was going. No, there's...
Keep looking straight ahead. I don't know.
Don't drop the baton.
Yeah, don't drop the baton.
Yeah, don't drop the baton. Make sure you get the baton.
Secure
that's the
that.
Whole thing. Well, in this case, this woman you're seeing now play out as we, this is cut 12, did not like being crowded a little bit. So she whacks the woman on the inside with the baton.
Oh!
She just whacks her with it.
Yeah.
And today she's saying she's being victimized. Everybody's going after her. She didn't mean that. It was just a natural motion.
Oh, yeah.
To whack the other woman with a baton. I've never seen anything like that in sports.
No.
I would charge her for this.
Absolutely.
She has to be charged with some kind of an assault.
Look, I understand being caught up in the moment, in the heat of the moment, you're angry. Like someone's passing you. It's like, oh, my gosh, I'm fading.
Right.
That's like when A-Rod hit the ball out of the first baseman's glove. Like, you knew he was doing it. It was an act. It was a motion. He didn't he chopped.
Right.
She put her arm up. She raised it above her head.
Right.
And went down on the other girl's head with the baton. She absolutely meant that. It wasn't.
Yeah. It wasn't
a normal range of motion.
Could either of you guys think of a worse display of bad sportsmanship than this that was on a public level? I really can't think of.
That might be a side question. I kind of like that one.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Displays of bad sportsmanship.
Yeah. Like Tom Brady not shaking Nick Foles' hand.
That's where I was going.
I'm sorry to say that.
Yeah. Well, little kids, I excuse it. I'm not a big fan of having to make the kid shake the hand in one-run game, play at the plate. Sometimes you need to decompress, and sometimes the teams are really going after each other. It's a little hard for me to force that. Yeah, I get it in a broad sense.
Are you pro handshakes, Henry?
Yeah, totally.
Okay,
yeah. It's mutual respect.
You're a better sportsman. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
I say that, and then you watch me play sports, and you'd probably think the other way.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
But I still do it at the end of the game. It's not.
Right.
It's not that I want to, but it's the right thing to do.
You can't whack the opponent, though. But this shows you the intensity of female sports that we're talking about. What about that aspect? How is it that Democrats can evade the idea? Well, their whole platform is not based on meritocracy, of competition for women. They tell us that, break the glass ceiling doing all this. This woman was breaking something here. Was this a high school...
This is the Virginia State Championship.
Wow. Okay.
4x200.
So I haven't seen if the Pennsylvania State Championship is coming up very soon. I know it's got to be pretty soon. And we were told there will be two trans/males by some guests we had on in those events. Imagine how intense this is where the one whacks the other with a baton. You know, this is extreme. That's violence. That's assault. But females are just as competitive. This is the prime for a lot of athletes. Being in the States is something that you never forget. It's a big deal. If you're the state champion, they have it at your school, etc. Why in the world do they insist that we're going to allow girls not to have that opportunity to have to compete in this manner? Well, America is not going to allow Democrats to get away with it. They're not. They're not going to shush us and tell us to stop talking about it. Brendan Boyle, come on the show. I'll shut up for a while and we'll hear what you have to say. Andy Kim, the same thing.
Ooh, that'd be interesting.
Oh, Brendan Boyle just came on once when I found out about illegal immigrants going to be placed in Northeast Philadelphia for the denial, Dan. Then it was out of Dodge. Kevin Boyle, I don't think ever came on a show, but I'd go to a bar to interview him if that's necessary.
Well, it might be for these guys.
Yeah. Yeah. All right.
I do have the girl that was struck. She talked to ABC 7. Good Morning America. Do you want to hear
Yeah, let's hear it. Yep.
On my head, and then I fell off the track immediately.
Kaylin dropping her baton and reaching for her head.
The whole Coliseum pretty much gasped. I just jumped up out of the bleachers immediately and ran to her on the main floor.
The 16-year-old was later diagnosed with a concussion. The family says neither the athlete who struck Kaylin nor the other team's coaches checked on Kaylin or reached out afterwards.
To see that they kept running and she not stop and check on my daughter, that was the part where I was like, it couldn't have been an accident.
The other runner, who attends IC Norcom High School, has not been named. Kaylin's parents say Norcom's athletic director and the girl's father apologized in a phone call, but they're still waiting for the opposing athlete and for coaches to reach out.
We definitely want the coaches and a personal apology from the actual athlete as well, because it's only right.
Virginia High School League saying in a statement, we thoroughly review every instance like this, adding the VHSL membership has always made it a priority to provide student athletes with a safe environment for competition.
Well, what are they doing about it? She ought to be banned for the rest of her eligibility there at best.
Really?
Oh, sure. I mean, you can't whack someone in a manner with this. Does she hit her around the eyes or anything like this? This is...
I don't trust to put her back on the track.
Right, exactly. Well, Twitter's down, but I did send from Twitter. She was on... when I had it today, she said she was a victim to people. The classic, well, you don't know me, and you're making all these allegations. My God. I have not seen anything like that in a race. You know, bumping into someone, something like that. There can be some stuff that happens.
I can get behind a suspension. I think maybe, you know, suspending her for the rest of her career is a little much because who knows? Like, this is the state final. She might be trying to run for a scholarship. I don't want to, like, ruin her life over one bad mistake. Obviously, it's an awful mistake, and she needs to apologize for it. But I don't want to, like, ruin her possible track career over that.
I would say, though, this is an assault with a weapon that can be deadly. Don't want to overdo
it. So the baton's not that heavy. I mean, it's not good. Still not good. It's still an object that you should hit someone with. But
let's go. What was that matter?
I got to restart it now. 1 second, guys.
Okay.
Sorry.
All right.
Let me get that. That's the audio you're looking for.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Let's hear the girl.
You're physically hurt, but you're not thinking of my mental, right? They're going off of one angle. A couple times hitting her, my baton got stuck behind her back like this, and it rolled up her back. I lost my balance, and when I pumped my arms again, she got hit. I know my intentions, and I would never hit somebody on purpose. They're assuming my character, calling me ghetto, racist slurs, death threats, all of this just because of a 9-second video. Everybody.
All right. We look at the tape. I think all three of us agree she intended to hit her there.
Yeah, that was all bull.
Yeah. All right.
She needs to come to grips that that's what she did. All right. Like, let's be real.
It makes my point, though, how competitive this is. So, Andy Kim, you get away with it with Jake Tapper. Come on here. You represent this area, South Jersey. Come on and tell us about your kids and about, oh, how bad we are. We keep on coming back to this point. Well, why don't you just change it and then we'll shut up about it? 855-839-1210. You get in. Hit us at 855-839-1210. All right, Dom Giordano Show. Welcome in. Hit us on the side question. I see a great answer on where the location becomes book, movie, TV, like another actor. All right, Henry, how about if you go first? I had addressed college. Well, I was a moderator of a couple of panels. Our own Walter Sterling was a star on one of them.
Really?
Yeah, and these are eager college students wanting to do what you two grizzled veterans have been doing and other things, you know, other types of jobs on air or whatever. In New York, like hundreds of them flocking around. One kid looked like Peter Doocy. He came and asked me for advice. And I went, Peter Doocy. I don't know. Rote took a picture of him, I think. So Walter's advice was brilliant to this one female. pick the city you want to live in. You know, if you think you may have to move around, you can't, the local's not big enough or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then just call up whoever the head person is. Don't go with any underlings and say, can you give me 10 minutes of your time? I'm breaking into this industry and I'd like to know what you think. David does this all the time. And he said, anybody that wouldn't do it, you don't want to work for them anyhow. What would you tell them, seeing the craziness of talk radio host, et cetera, up close and personal?
What I tell them? To be patient, for one.
Okay.
Be patient, but always have an eye on what you think is interesting. Because if you can bring a passion, any sort of discussion that you can expound on to a show, I think it makes for good radio. So just, I don't know, keep that in mind when you're talking about talk radio. If there's a story, something that catches your eye, a headline, run with it. Roll with it. Pitch it.
All right. Now, see, I would have had the panel maybe of people like you and Dan there, too. I would have done a panel of that version, not just there were syndicated hosts. There was a judge who I may or may not have gotten into it with on the panel, and I'm the moderator. I'm not supposed to do that.
I'd love to hear the audio.
It's because the judge said she doesn't want to be called judge, and she won't do that on the air. And I found that to be peculiar.
Yeah.
Yeah. And also said she believes you ought to state what the facts are. When you're saying your opinion, you ought to say, well, this is my opinion. Can you imagine, like, closed captioning and talk radio doing this? It'd be exhausting. You know, I want to know 1 second to another. The other people on the panel are like, what? So, Dan, your advice to me over there at these Peter Ducey types.
Just one word, don't.
No, don't. Okay, that's just good.
Don't do it. It's actually one of the first pieces of advice I heard from Mary Walter, believe it or not.
Wow.
what's your advice for getting into this industry? She goes, just don't. No, but seriously, I mean, I got to tell myself this time sometimes, but I think it's a lot more embroiled in the younger generation is don't enter into the workforce with any high expectations. Set your expectations low, work your ass off, and hopefully things will fall into place for you. You know, it is indeed a very tough industry. It's a very competitive industry. But entitlement runs very strong in this industry along with many others. So, you know, you're going to have to do things you might not want to do, and it's going to take a while before you have your own show with your own voice on your own radio station or whatever.
Right.
You know, you can't just go into a place, expect the most and everything. So go in with low expectations.
Go low expectations.
Low expectations, just don't do it at all. That's my advice to young kids.
Don't even try.
I paid $300 to come to New York.
You know what? There you go. Have a backup plan.
It's getting worse, Henry. You went from the low expectation. No, don't do it. Low expectations, backup plan, parachute out. Henry was all inspirational. I put these two on a panel. I told Michael Harrison that. I wish he had done it. Should have been one panel with people that are in the big time radio of various sorts and climbing, to talk about that versus one guy was the billionaire guy that owns WABC. Mm-hmm. He was up there, you know, stuff like that versus people trying to move ahead on this. Walter Sterling, though, that was good advice. It was real in his own inimitable way. All right. 855-839-1210. You get on board. All right, here is something that intrigues me, and you may be one of those that says, oh, don't do it. Donald Trump should not do it. Kid Rock talking about setting up a dinner with President Trump and Bill Maher. Cut eight.
I'm actually going to try to unite this country, and I'm starting at the end of the month. I'm taking Bill Maher to the White House for dinner. This guy who's done nothing but talk smack about the president since day one. But he's a comedian, too.
Yeah.
And, you know, I can have conversations with him. You know, if you don't get into Trump, because I'm like, I freaking love him.
Yeah.
He's like, I don't. I'm like, let's talk about other things. We can find common ground. He's actually, you know, more reasonable than a lot of people on the right would think.
Especially
the last maybe 4 years or whatever. So I said to him, I was doing his podcast, and I said, if I can hook you guys up, this, that, and the other. And trust me, there's a lot more people deserving at that table, you know, for dinner. So it's a big deal to me to, you know, bring him there and even have the president be like, yeah, do it. Let's do it. I go, man, what would it say to this country? Let's start at the top where you know, very public figures, him, television comedian, you, president of the free world. You know, we could just break bread, have some laughs, take a picture and be like, hey, you know, we don't agree on everything, but we got along. Does that start to send a message to people, or do they just think I'm an idiot?
Yeah.
You know, does Bill Maher look soft for going? Does Trump look weak? Like, I'm like, man, I think we just got to start somewhere like there and be like, look, man, we just had dinner. We had some laughs. We had fun. Yeah. Like, maybe call that family member that you got into it over politics, or that person, you know, at the school that, you know, you don't like to talk to anymore, that you used to have a coffee with in the morning. Maybe just get back with him and be like, look, man, it's okay. Everybody calm down a little bit.
All right. I think the average person listening to that is rejecting that, but it intrigues me. Bill Maher with President Trump there at the White House. I think Maher will do it, and Kid Rock will be there. Henry, do you think... you hear the listeners more than I do in some ways. You're screening calls. Do you think they would object to Bill Maher and Trump having dinner?
No. I don't see why not. I think the consensus, maybe not the consensus, but I do think people at least respect Bill Maher for speaking his mind.
I do.
He goes
against
the, you know, progressive grain, so to speak.
A lot. Yeah.
Yeah, I think it'd be good to open up a dialogue like that, because that's frankly what we need in this country, is more dialogue between... You know,
right. Well, it's not about unity of that you're going to agree on the issues, but can you be friends with something? Look, if someone is a diehard Trump fan, almost anything he does is correct, and someone is a progressive, it's going to be hard to be friends. It's going to rub raw. You're going to have to overlook a lot. Maybe you both like the Eagles or something. Maybe that's what you could talk about. But in the main... You have people that can bypass all this stuff and talk about other stuff in life.
I don't think Bill Maher does it. I think Kid Rock invites, Trump invites. Is Bill Maher, did he already agree to do something like this? Because I don't see what Bill Maher would see that he gains in doing something like this.
Oh, humor, comedy coming out of this for weeks.
Where does he, to his audience that he's trying to get, mainly leftist-leaning people, does associating with Kid Rock, in his eyes, put him on the same intellectual level with Kid Rock, someone that they don't respect, which they should, because you just heard there, he's a very well-thought person, he just has a persona to him. I mean, would Bill Maher see himself as being judged by the left if he were to go and talk with Kid Rock?
If I get him on, which I think so after this, Dan, he wants more conservatives in his audience. He loves that. Told me it, etc. He likes that because it gives him in his head that he's not progressive in his broader appeal.
Limited.
And the stuff that people applauded when he was here at the Met, I judged any number of them to be conservative. His biggest area that's very tough, and it was tough for Roe, he's very anti-religion. He's completely... sacrilegious, anti-religion. It's pretty hard for people to get by that. But on other stuff, he's one of the best attackers of progressivism out there. All right, 855-839-1210. You get in right now. 855-839-1210. All right, it is Dom time. Welcome in. Good Monday. As we speak, I'm watching on Twitter, it's finally back, a video of them dismantling the Black Lives Matter Plaza. And I'm not sure, I forget the streets. They're in downtown Washington. It's a pretty big street, giant, you may remember when they painted that. And I think it was maybe toward the tail end of the real height of that summer.
YouTube.com/@12WPHT to see the footage.
Yeah, they got bulldozers in or smaller cranes or something are going to tear it up and put there. And the headline several people put on this, healing. America finally healing from this. And often when January 6th comes up, people make the point, look at what happened. Trying to remember even which summer it was now due to COVID, things coming together. But Dan was over in Port Richmond then. I remember the coverage of the sacking of the stores over in Port Richmond, the blowing up. It started to be unparalleled, the number of times it happened of ATMs. And just general lawlessness allowed to go on. May remember we had this woman that set fire, blew up police cars intentionally downtown Philadelphia during it. Bill McSwain tracked her down on Etsy, of all places, what she was wearing and all, and they got her and put her in jail. So this is a big moment. The mayor of Washington seems to be afraid of President Trump by executive authority taking over the city of Washington, which the president can do. I'm not sure if it's ever been done even mildly, but that and other actions with the homeless. But this is the major one that affects America. And the whole operation that went on and the inability to say all lives matter too, or police lives matter too, and the things that still go on with the thin blue line over in Springfield Township, this was a massive billions and billions of dollars attack. Corporate America jumped into this out of fear, or they agreed, giving the organization, we can't even guesstimate how much money. God knows where it went. And here in Philadelphia, it was as destructive in many ways as all but a few cities across the country. So this is a pretty symbolic moment to have the mayor agree to this. Trump's not just doing this on his own, and to tear this up and move forward. And if you want healing and moving forward, there's got to be more of this. We still haven't moved forward from COVID, for example. Now, we may start to see that with the new people taking over the health departments, et cetera. But as we speak, I don't know, by tonight, by tomorrow, that will be gone. And the impulse then was one-sided. Now, the remaining thing, and I'm not sure where this came from all of a sudden, and it's not a good idea, I'll tell you why. The cop that was involved in the killing, in the situation that precipitated some of the rioting, he has people saying that President Trump should pardon him for the federal part of the crimes. The problem with that is he would then serve umpteen years in a state prison. In the federal prison, the argument is he's better protected. If he goes to a state prison, that's not what he wants coming out of this. So this is still something fresh. This removal today is a big example of cataclysmic changes that President Trump is putting in. But one we have to talk about, and Dan probably can't come on, he's on Fox right now, Steve Moore, who really has Trump's ear on many things, over the weekend saying, you know what, this tariff stuff, I'm looking at the stock market today, and I bet most people listening one way or another have a 401k, are attached to this. It is not good. President Trump now saying the stock market's not the metric. It's America's economy overall. And I made this point at the event up in New York. There was a debate about Trump in the media, President Trump in the media, that he truly does believe. I don't think this is a political move with him. He truly does believe in tariffing. I don't. I don't think this has ever been proven to work. I'm talking about as a major policy. What we did with the Chinese in his first term worked to some degree, so much so in particular areas that the Biden people actually kept it. And you have the scare story, toasters will cost $300 or something all of a sudden. That's not going to happen. But what we're seeing right now is not good. This is not something that's going to be sustainable. And it's got to be more targeted in order to be effective as it was in the first term. 855-839-1210, you get on board. I trust Stephen Moore. He's a pro-growth guy. He's talking about what the economy needs now is more growth. It needs to be a stimulus to move us forward on this and to start to attack what Biden has created here. Tariffs are not going to do that, though. And, you know, Trump reads the room well. Is he going to move out of this and then in April go back to them? The markets don't like that. That's the type of stuff where there's no stability, makes it difficult to know what to do. All right. So particularly if you're a major Trump supporter, is this the misstep? Is this the type of thing you wish? Let's get on with the tax cuts. Let's get that done. Let's get on with the other parts of his economic agenda that I think are strong and will show results pretty quickly. All right, let's go to Joe in Easton, another Joe. on Talk Radio 1210. Hey, Joe, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Now, you have to go back a few years, back to the early 60s. 12 Angry Men. The location was a jury room, entire movie.
Yep. Sure. And it was raining, and you had guys wondering if they're going to get to a ball game. That film is the greatest collection of actors of that period that everybody would know. They were in hundreds of things. And you're right. The jury room is just about the only thing we see other than coming out of the courthouse. And it's a character in that. Yeah.
Henry Fonda, Jack Klugman, Jack Warden, Lee J. Cobb. The list goes on and on. But yep. I always watch it. When it comes on, I always watch it.
I do, too. Thank you, Joe. That's a very good one. Subtle. You know, it's a dank kind of courtroom in the middle of a courthouse in New York City with rain. They don't even show that. You just hear thunder and stuff they do. But that's where it's set the entire time. Okay. Side question today. Hit us with that locale, 855-839-1210. You get on board. We have coming up Scott Presler at 2 o'clock. He's got a major update on several things. How are we doing in Pennsylvania? How are we doing in Jersey? Where do we move next? Where does that go next? I'm just hoping the Doge people over there get a few things. They got to get a few more things out. The spending, the arrogance in New Jersey, it's just incredible. Let's get a few out there, publicize it with people, and move forward. All straight ahead, Talk Radio 1210. All right, it is Dom Giordano's show. Bill Malugin, who we've never been able to get on the show from Fox, has something, though. How the Trump people are using the Biden app. Remember that? About people in the country illegally making it even easier to get here and navigate. They're turning it around to help with deportation. Here's Malugin from Fox talking about it.
So this is pretty remarkable. The Trump administration has taken that controversial CBP-1 cell phone app for migrants that the Biden administration was using, and they've repurposed it into a self-deportation app that is officially launching today. And we're getting an exclusive first look at it. Take a look. The app is now called CBP Home. It allows illegal aliens in the U.S. to register to self-deport. They fill out biographical information, including their countries of citizenship, which country they plan to return to, their alien registration numbers, their contact information, and it allows them to upload photos of themselves to confirm their identity. All of it is then submitted to CBP, and they leave the country. Now, you might be asking yourself, well, why would an illegal immigrant want to self-deport? Well, DHS says if they leave now, they will have the opportunity to return to the U.S. legally in the future and chase the American dream. But if they don't leave, they will be found, arrested, detained, and deported with a permanent ban on entry into the United States. In a statement to Fox News, DHS Secretary Kristi Noem said in part, quote, the Biden administration exploited the CBP-1 app to allow more than 1 million aliens to illegally enter the United States. With the launching of the CBP Home app, we are restoring integrity to our immigration system. If they don't self-deport, we will find them, deport them, and they will never return. The Biden administration's use of the CBP-1 app allowed more than 40,000 migrants to come into the U.S. at a port of entry every single month. That totaled nearly 1 million migrants by the end of his presidency. President Trump terminated that app immediately upon taking office, leading to scenes like this, showing migrants dismayed at the border on the day of his inauguration as they learned their CBP-1 appointments were canceled and were never coming back.
All right. Masterful. We see how many self-deport. It's a good idea, turning it on its head, without a doubt. Bill in Bucks County. Bill, you're on Talk Radio 1210. Afternoon, Bill.
Good afternoon there, Dom, Dan, and Henri.
Thank you.
I just wanted to mention that...
Francophile here, yes.
All right.
Yeah.
I just wanted to mention that I did see some numbers at Bucks County registrations. The Republicans now have over 9,800 Republicans more than Democrats.
Wow. So, we'll have to ask Presler about that. That's a nice increase. And thank you, Diane Marsaglia. Thank you, Diane.
And today is one more day before petitions close up there. So we'll see who's running for school board, county row, and whatever else is.
Well, now, wait a minute. Is that at the DA's race, too, or no? Is that not up yet?
Yeah, the DA, yeah.
So
that's up, too.
We'll
yeah.
see by tomorrow, then, you're saying.
Sheriff.
Who files for DA? That's the critical thing here. And the Larry Krasner wannabe guy, Joe Kahn, hasn't filed yet, then.
No, I don't know.
Oh, okay. We'll watch that. Okay.
A lot of them are going to wait till 5 o'clock tomorrow afternoon, the deadline. So
okay.
I don't know. Anyway, and I think Trump ought to go to see Bill Maher. I think I think Air Force One knows its way to LAX, you know, so.
Okay.
He can get out there and TV.
Well, you know, no, Bill Maher would come and see him. It's not going to go that way. Yeah. All right. And what's your film or TV show?
Oh, yeah, the film is, Bogey and McCall. Casablanca.
All right, Casablanca, they do make it a character. They take that sense of it's an iffy place with the French in control, sort of, but the Germans there. Not bad. All right, breaking news, Dan. What do
we
have?
I don't know. Is this breaking? I think it might be. This came out about 15 minutes ago.
Yes.
Headline from Patch. Bucks County Democrats endorse County Row office candidates. Bucks County Democratic Committee has unanimously voted to endorse Row candidates Joe Kahn for district attorney. And then
thank you. So that gives us some meat. Now, we have the real DA on. And this Joe Kahn character is, he's not Larry Krasner, but maybe Jack Stolsteimer-y. Or more, even, arguably, running for DA. Now, we told you this well ahead of the curve with Jim Worthington and Linda Mitchell, who has that local Bucks County outfit really going great guns. There is some sense out in the suburbs. We don't want to have another Larry Krasner type as DA. So does this guy have a chance? Well, Bucks County is pretty firm, and I think the current DA is very good and very well-liked, but not taking any chances. So it appears that Joe Kahn, and thanks for finding that there, they endorsed him. I think that means he's running. We ran down his MO before, and yeah, he's not a law and order guy. Why would Bucks County go with that? Well, you have to realize in these DA races, often there's kind of low voter turnout, and when you see something like that, and he gets big money by the usual people behind it, then you could expect that anything is possible. So this is one to pay attention to, not just if you're in Bucks County, but wherever you are, that has to be stopped, has to be won. You win the presidency, have the House, Congress, and all, but these local races are critical. And, just what we've seen from Marseglia and Bob Harve de Grace and all the rest of it there, it can tell you, even in Bucks County, they are rogue. They'll do anything. It'd be one of the first questions that Mr. Kahn should be asked. What does he think of the shenanigans that went on there? Well, as DA, I have nothing to do with that. You know, what would his agenda be? Would it be telling us about mass incarceration? Is that the type of stuff we'd hear? Bringing people back home who did it a crime then and will do more crime when they get out, like Larry Krasner.
I think I have to add to this to board, Dom.
All right.
Do you know what that's from?
No.
Star Trek.
Oh, okay.
All right.
So we are looking here then. Scott Presler coming up. And we're also looking in honor of the film 310 to Yuma. A film, book, or TV series, a good one, that basically uses a location so much and so well, it's almost like a character. Coming up, the New York Times, too, says Democrats are going to use sports to reach young men. Oh, man, I want to see who this is. James Carville going to be the strategist here? Who do they have that's going to know how to use sports to reach young men, Dan? Thought you had something there. No, okay. All right, Presler next, and then we'll talk that too, and Dom's Money Melody, all straight ahead on Talk Radio 1210.
Dom Giordano, weekdays 9 till noon on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT.